Okay, so today is the 20th of June 2019, the 17th of Sivan Tavshin Ayin Tes. We are up to Halacha Day of Perek Chaf Ches and Chaf Tes of Bamidbar. So we will speak about the issue of Tadr V'Sheinu Tadr, Tadr Kodem, the source. What is that idea? Tadr V'Sheinu Tadr? Familiar with that concept? Tadr means often. If you have something that's often and you have something that's not as often, you do the one that's more often first. Right? Thus?
Like haftorahs.
Like haftorahs and things. What do you mean?
If you have a choice of two haftorahs, the one that comes up more frequently is the one that you...
Oh, I don't know if that's the reason that we do it that way. Oh, you mean with the maftirs? That would be a better example. Right. So if Shabbos, Hanukkah, Rosh Chodesh, so we would do Rosh Chodesh followed by Hanukkah. Because Rosh Chodesh happens more often than Hanukkah does. Yes, so that the premise of the source of that is in this parak. As the Mishnah tells, there's a parak in Masech HaZvachim titled Kol HaZvachim, Kol HaTadir, which is sort of a break. Most of HaZvachim is based on... a lot of his learning Gezeiras HaKasuv, just darshaning out Pesukim, figuring out what the halachos are based on Pesukim in the Torah. This is sort of a break, sort of back to sort of the logic and principles and theory of the halachic process. So you know, like sort of a little bit of parak that you, when you're learning Daf Yomi, it's like a little bit of a relief learning parak Kol HaTadir. So the Mishnah tells us in the beginning Kol HaTadir, Kol HaTadir Mechaver Kodem as Chaver, whatever comes first, you do first. So Atamidim Kodem L'Musafen. So you're doing the Korban Tamid before you bring the Korban Musaf, and Musafei Shabbos Kodem L'Musafei Rosh Chodesh, right? If you have Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh, you'll do the Shabbos one before the Rosh Chodesh, and Musafei Rosh Chodesh Kodem L'Musafei Rosh Hashanah, and Rosh Chodesh will come before Rosh Hashanah, Shne'emar, Milvad Olas HaBoker Asher Li'Olas HaTamid Tasu HaSeilah. Besides the morning Olas, besides the Korban Tamid that was born in the morning, which is the regular one, you're also going to do these. So what's going on there? That you're going to do, obviously you're going to do the first one first. You're going to do the more regular one, the t'other one you're going to do first. And then you're going to go ahead and do this, do the rest, and do the more unusual ones. You're going to do that later. Okay?
You said Rosh Chodesh and Rosh Hashanah?
Right.
I thought you didn't...
Yes, do you bring the Korban Rosh Chodesh on Rosh Hashanah? So, two groups of Muslims were on that day. Yeah, you bring a Rosh Chodesh and you bring a Rosh Hashanah, a Korban for Rosh Chodesh and for Rosh Hashanah. Huh? Okay, that's the blessing of the month is sort of to figure out what that is. Let's think about it. Did they bless the month during time based on English? What exactly is that Berachas HaChodesh?
The
Shabbos before? Right, so you could have done the Shabbos before, right? So what exactly is that? That's a good question, maybe for another Halacha Day sometime. But that's the idea of Tadr V'Sheinu Tadr Tadr Kodem. Now, the issue is that is half an Amud later on the page, there's another Mishnah. What does the next Mishnah say? Kol HaMakudosh Mechaveru Kodem Es Chaveru. That if something is more Kadosh than something else, so then that one is going to go first. So what would make something more Kadosh than something else? So there are these like rules that the Mishnah sort of develops. As something that's offered as a kapara for something else is going to be considered more Kadosh. Or something that is entirely offered on the Mizbeach is considered more Kaddush. Right? So there's a couple of things that we would then go ahead and define as being more Kaddush than other things, and that's going to go first. So then you have the obvious question, right? What happens when those two principles then come in conflict with another? Right? If you have something, well, on one hand, one thing is going to be more Tadir, and the other thing is going to be more Kaddush. So which one is going to win out with regards to those two? So that end up being the Gemara itself raises that question, and the Gemara itself brings several attempts to try to answer that question. However, none of them are ultimately satisfied with, and the Gemara sort of moves on without ever totally resolving that question. But so the first proof, what?
It has to be resolved. No.
Halacha. Right, so the Rambam says that we don't have that Musaf Shabbos is before V'acharav Musaf Rosh Chodesh V'acharav Musaf Yom Tov Shekol Tav Bechaver Kodem Es Chaveru V'chein Kol Mekudesh Bechaver Kodem Es Chaveru Hayalfon of Tadir Mekudesh Yaknim Izim Em Shiritzi. You can bring whichever one you want. We're not going to hold these principles. That's the sheet that the Rambam holds. Not everybody agrees to that. There are other Rishonim that disagree. But that is that's the course of the Gemara. So, for instance, the Gemara raises the question, says, well, maybe Tamidim Kodum Musafim. The Tamid is going to come first because they're more often, even though the Musaf is more Kadosh. Right? Why is the Musaf more Kadosh than a Korban Tamid? What's the Havimin of the Gemara? Because the Korban Musaf is only brought on a Kadosh day. Right? So the Korban Musaf of Shabbos is a Shabbos Dika Korban, while the Korban Tamid is a Choladika Korban, to which the Gemara responds, no, I tricked you, right? That's not a correct premise. Atu Shabbos the Musaf and Ahani, Latamidim lo Ahani, what, you think Shabbos only impacts the Korban Musaf? It doesn't impact the Korban Tamid? The Korban Tamid of Shabbos isn't just a regular Tamid that's on the rest of the week, it just happens to be Shabbos. It's a Shabbos Dika Tamid. So that's not going to resolve the issue. And the Gemara continues on with several examples of that, which one of them is prominent for the following kasha that sort of brings this more into the modern day. So the Shagas Aryeh, anybody know who the Shagas Aryeh was? His mother didn't call him the Shagas Aryeh, right? His mother called him Aryeh Leib, with one yud. Yeah, last name, I believe, is, don't say the last name here, I believe Ginsburg is what he went by. He was a fiery personality. He got himself, he was a Rav in, I think Metz, in Magenza, in Germany. And he got into a fight with everybody and refused to come to shul. Except for the four times when the rabbis in those days only spoke a few times a year. So except for the four times he was supposed to speak by contract, he like didn't bother, he didn't come to shul. All right, but somehow he retained his position going forward. Fascinating character. There's a legend about him, which I'm not sure is true, that towards the end of his life, a bookcase fell on him. For the story, a bookcase fell on him, and he was covered in svarim for an hour until his tamidim found him. And he said, it's good. Well, all these svarim came and attacked me because I've spent my whole career attacking them and getting into machlokes with them. So they all came and attacked me. But don't worry, I asked mechila from all of them, and they're all granted to me, except for one. And he didn't. The Lavush said, no, I'm not giving you kapara, whatever that means. Lavush passed away well before the Shagas Aryeh was born, and therefore I think the end might be near. And Kachav, he died soon after. So that's the legend that is said about the Shagas Aryeh. Again, they don't say these stories about you or me. Or as Beryl Wine would say, all the stories I say are true, just some haven't happened yet. Anyways, so the other thing, so one of the interesting things about his he has Shailos Hatshuvos Shagas Aryeh, that's the way he presents it. But as opposed to general responsa literature, his Shailos are made up. He makes up his own Shailos and then writes responses and responses to them. So his Shaila was Mishai Yosheva Ocha Balaila. Somebody was sitting and eating at night, and he hadn't yet said Kriya Shema at night. Kriya Shema Shal Arvis Bismana Mitzvah Kolchavim Ve'elach. Right. So Inami, or during days of Sfira, and he hasn't yet counted Sfira. So which one comes first? Do we say Birchas HaMazon comes first, or do we say Shema comes first, or do we say Sfira Omer comes first? Right. You have those three options. You have Birchas HaMazon Birchas HaMazon versus Shema. In fact, his first tshuva is at Simin Chaf Aleph. He deals with just Birchas Kriya Shema versus Shema. And then in Simon Chaf Beis, he then pulls Sfiras Omer into the picture. Right? So what is the... So one of the issues that he's going to deal right off the bat with regards to resolving that issue... And by the way, this isn't just sometimes. This is like regular, right? If one makes early Shabbos, So if you're like me, you make early Shabbos and then go to shul. So for Marv, so it's not going to work because I'm obviously finishing the meal before Marv. But in the regular early Shabbos situation, someone makes Shabbos at 7 o'clock. They daven and then they daven Marv and then they go home. There are actually when I was in Israel, so they told me in Ramat Beit Shemesh that there are minyanim that have like a late Marv minyan on Friday night. Right, so people will go to Kabbalah Shabbos at shul, go home, eat with their kids, and then go to Marv at 9:30 at night and daven bisman. Yeah, so you know, that works when you have like a shul every other block.
Kabbalah Shabbos before.
Right? Yeah, you go to shul, you daven mincha, Kabbalah Shabbos, and now it's Shabbos. You go home and eat, put the kids to sleep, and then go to Marv.
But if you don't go to Marv, then you daven Marv, right?
Well, you can daven Marv yourself also, right?
You said something about having a piece of bread.
There's an idea that even if one makes early Shabbos, they should have at least a piece of bread following nighttime, following night after it becomes dark, as the Mishnah Berurah mentions. In the Kovetz Halachos, Rav Shmuel mentions that you could be yotzei that din with pasa baba kisnin. So you don't necessarily need to wash and have a piece of bread. Having a piece of cake is fine as well. So that's the minhag in my house during the summer. We daven mincha early. Hopefully, if I can find a minyan someplace, then we make Chavalites candles right after Plaga Mincha. We have our Suda, and then a bench, and then I walk to go to Shul and do Kabbalah Shabbos and Marv. That's our, as we don't have an early minyan in town. So I wait to do Kabbalah Shabbos because I'm going to do Kabbalah Shabbos by myself and not at Shul. But if a person would want to do, let's say they weren't going to go to Marv at Shul, so then they should do Kabbalah Shabbos first, and then we'll hold off Marv till after nightfall. But a regular person in a community where there's an early minyan and you daven mincha before plag, you daven marav right after plag, so you have to repeat kriyas shema, have to say sakul chav. So then you go home and you eat, and then you eat, and then it's time to bench. And lo and behold, it's dark outside. So now you have an option: should I bench now, or should I say kriyas shema now? Right, that's the kasha. Perhaps more pressing, although people might not want to admit this. What?
We're counting over.
Well, you could throw that in also. I'm going to push that to the side for the minute. It's easier to just keep it bilinear, if that's a word. It's in shuls that have shal shuddis. So the shul has shal shuddis, and then they, look at the time. It's time to daven marav. So do you bench, or do you daven marav first? Right? It's the same shaila. Right, so the immediately one would turn to, well, okay, so you have an option to do one of two mitzvos. So which one comes first? So we've been saying tadir sheino tadir kodem. The mekudesh thing perhaps comes into play with regards to the series to the omer, but just hold with tadir sheino tadir kodem. Okay, great. So now which one is more tadir, benching or kriyas shema?
Well, you're not going to eat anyway because you finish eating, so you don't need to say Kriyat Shema.
What?
You don't need to say Kriyat Shema because you already ate, and you can daven Marav anyway.
Yeah, but
until sun comes up, so you've got like 10 hours or so, you should bench.
I mean, because the deadline for benching is going to come before the deadline for Shema.
Yeah.
Okay. That is a possibility out there. They say that comes up with... at the time for Musaf, perhaps overlaps with the like on Yom Kippur. So we certainly don't do this on Yom Kippur. But sometimes at the time, it's because then people will get confused for the rest of the year. But in theory, there's an issue. The Shulchan Aruch says you should make sure to finish Musaf before this. Sorry, you should make sure to start Musaf before this Zman for Mincha, because otherwise you have an issue. Which one comes first, Mincha or Musaf? So we would, if that would come up, we would daven Musaf before davening Mincha, just to keep the regular Seder. But it's not so simple. But part of that cheshbon is that Musaf has an end time before Mincha. Why? Both of them are until Shkia, right? So the answer is no, because Mincha you can in theory do a tashlumin for, while Musaf you can't. Right? If you miss Mincha, you can make it up during the later Zma afterwards, while Musaf you can't. Okay, anyways, but that's not where the Shagasari goes first. The Shagasari goes first to the issue of Tadir Vishenu Tadir Tadir Kodim. Right? So which one is more Tadir between the two of those? So benching or Shema, which one is more tadir? So at first he.
If you don't know, there's a risk that you miss the 72 minutes to bench.
Hmm.
If you don't know first, after the meal, you might miss the 72-minute window you have.
Yeah, yeah, okay, fine. But you might not. I mean, Shema takes three, four minutes. So you're not.
I want to say, hurry to do it, because otherwise you miss.
But here you're in the middle of something. Okay, all right, I hear. That's not where the Shagasari goes first. The Shagasari goes first to the issue of which was more tadir. And his first reaction is, well, I would say, benching is more tadir. Why is benching more tadir? Because Kriya Shema you only do twice a day, while Berachas HaMazon you do more. Now, it might not be true. Certainly in today's day and age, right, how often does a person wash and bench during the week? So even if a person has a sandwich every day for lunch, so that's once a day, right? Do you have French toast every day for breakfast? Do you have bread every night at dinner? So it's not necessarily true, but it could be in his day it was. But Berachas HaMazon might not just mean Berachas HaMazon itself. It might include any bracha achrona. Right, you do bracha achrona more often than you do Shema. So that's his first reaction. However, he turns around and says, "But I'll bring a proof that that's not necessarily how we count tadir. I mean, how have we been counting? If according to that, how do we count tadir? It sounds like we're counting tadir by saying which one do you do more." Right, so is that true that we count tadir by saying which one do we do more? So he says, if you look in the Gemara in Kol HaTadir, so over that discussion of which is more important, Mekudash versus tadir, so he suggests the following proof. That shlamim shel emesh chatas va'ashim shel yom. Let's say you have yesterday's shlamim and today's chatas and ashim. So the shlamim from yesterday comes first. Why? Ha'idi v'idi b'yom. But that implies that if the shlamim and the chatas were today's, the chatas and ashim would come first. V'af al gav, the shlamim tadiri. Even though the shlamim happens more often. Now, why does a shlamim happen more often than a chatas and an ashim? So the Rashi says, because shlamims are volunteer offerings, and people bring those more. Yeah. All right, that's Rashi's.
You can't do. There's no such thing as a voluntary asham or.
Right. That's what he says. Tadiri shehin mitzuyin mitoch shabayin mineder v'nedav. That happens more often, says Rashi, because they come by way of neder and nedav. So Rava responds by saying, "No, you're getting two words confused. Tadir versus matzui. Matzui means it happens a lot. Tadir means that it's regulated to happen a lot or something, right? Matzui kamarta, tadir can be bailon. Matzui can be bailon. I only am wondering about what's tadir, not which is matzui. The way it's translated here is tadir means frequent, matzui means prevalent. So the Gemara asks, "Amar Leir Rufuna Bar Yehuda LeRava Atu Matzui Lo Tadir." What? They're not the same thing. Vatanya Otzias Apesach Sheinu Tadir VeLo Otzias Amila Shehi Tadira. That we will exclude a Korban Pesach because the Pesach doesn't. Vatanya, we have the Brisa, which B'Shogeg will bring on a Chatas. We say Otzias Apesach, which doesn't happen, but Lo Otzias Amila, which is more frequent, which happens more often. So it refers to the Bris Mila as Tadir, even though it doesn't happen very often. It's just there a lot. It's
Tadir compared to
Korban Pesach. That person will bring more Korban Pesachs over their lives than they will bring Mila. But Milas happen more often than Korban Pesach. That seems to be what the Gemara is saying. So my Tadir b'mitzvos, v'yibaylan, Mila gabi Pesach, he Tadir dami. He says, a Bris, but compared to Pesach, would be considered as being more Tadir. Okay. But the distinction that is being made here is between Matzoi and Tadir. So says Shagas Aryeh, so to hear that Birchas HaMazon is not Tadir, it's just Matzui. There's no requirement to bench a lot. There's only a requirement to say Shema a lot. So therefore his suggestion is that Shema is actually more Tadir than benching, even though benching is something that quantitatively you might end up doing more. That's the suggestion that the Shagas Ari has, and that's the way he concludes his section here. Now, people can argue against him. Plenty of people do argue against him. He says, no, because, he says, first of all, it's not true. He says, where does one suggestion saw from, where is it here? From a Sefer of Chaim Sofer, so some of these sources from Rabbi Josh Flug. So from Rabbi Chaim Sofer, so he says the following. He says, well, but wait a second. Who says that that's he says, is benching really the same thing as a korban shlamim? Why does a person bring a korban shlamim? But they said they were going to bring a korban shlamim, right? That's entirely a human initiative. Why does a person bench? Because they ate. Right. The eating is what generates the obligation for birchas hamazon. Right? So there's a bit of a distinction. Right? Korban shlamim is something that a person decides they're going to bring a korban shlamim. Right? When a person eats, then they have to bring birchas hamazon. So while, yes, it's true, shlamim might be referred to as matzui, just something that happens, but not necessarily something that we would call tadir, birchas hamazon maybe would qualify as tadir because it's a chiv that is generated, it's an obligation that is generated more often. There's some other suggestions as well, but that's the famous Shagas Aryeh with regards to this rule. I mean, the practice, I think, is not like that. The practice is I think most people would bench first, and then they would do Shema. That seems to be the minhag. Why is that? Probably simply because you're involved. When does the obligation of benching come from? Does it come at that moment when you decide to bench? I mean, oh, look at that, it's time to benching. Oh, look at that, it's dark outside. That's the simple Shema. The answer is no, you already have to bench before. So to pass over the chiyuv of benching in order to say, "Oh, I'm going to say Shema first," so that perhaps that is inappropriate. So that also is argued about, etc. I'll throw in one more issue with regards to the tadir thing, and this I came across last year. I just remember listening to the shir while pushing Rivka around the streets of Tinek while I was on break, and then I was able to track it down. Rabbi Reisman has a shir on Wayu Torah, right? Rabbi Yisrael Reisman, he talked about the Rabbi Greenstein, mentioned him yesterday. So he's a shir on Wayu Torah. It took me a hard to, it was very hard to find, because the title is Tadir. Right, so he raises this issue: why bench at Shal Shudas before? Why would we do that? So he suggests why he has the following chakir. There's actually a sefer, apparently he quoted Tadir Kehilchaso. Right, an entire sefer devoted to this topic of Tadir v'she'inu Tadir Tadir Kodem. So he raises this issue: why is it that Tadir? Why does Tadir get to go first? Why does Tadir get to go first? So one could say, why would you think? So one could say that Tadir, that halacha has defined something that is Tadir as being more chashuv. Right? That's just the way we have it. Tadir v'sheinu Tadir Tadir Kodem, because Tadir is more chashuv. Okay, maybe. The other possibility is that that is just simply the Seder. And then if that's the case, it could be outrun by other types of things, meaning it's a seder. Meaning you flip a coin, so that's our way of flipping a coin. That we just have to resolve the issue somehow, and that's the way that we resolve the issue. There's nothing necessarily integrally, nothing inherent to the idea of tadir that makes it more chashuv than the other sides. I think Rav Shechter likes to tell a story that the Magen Avraham has a list of people. Shagasari story, I believe. The Magen Avraham has a list of who gets kadimus in terms of dying for the Yomid, right? If in terms of, you know, when there's chiyuvs, so who wins out when there's a couple people that want the Yomid or an aliyah or something like that? So what's the order? Who wins out? So the Shagas Aryeh, apparently he went to the Shagas Aryeh when he was the Rav, I guess, of Metz, and he said somebody should go to the Yomid, which is out of the order. Oh, there was a question that came to him about who should go first. So he said, "All right, we'll flip a coin. We'll have a goral. We'll have a lottery." So someone said, "Why are you choosing? Why are you going with a lottery?" The Magen Avraham gives an order, to which he responded by saying, "And how do you think the Magen Avraham came up with his order?" Right? And it was the same thing. So it's just a sort of a way of resolving it. So Rav Elchanan in Kovetz Shurim on Psachim, a number Rishvav. So he says, right, that we have that the korban, that if not for the pasuk, right, tadir obviously is more chamor, because if not for the pasuk instructing us that you're going to bring the Right, tadir beats out something that is eno tadir, because there is no pasuk. The only thing that the pasuk is telling you, let's move that aside. I have some. gotta work through again what that is. But he did raise the issue. Much of his shiur was dealing with which is considered more tadir, something that is more regular, or something that happens more often. Right, which is considered more tadir. So what is the classic example of where that comes up? The classic example of where that comes up is Rosh Chodesh Elul, second day of Rosh Chodesh Elul. Why? Because there's two additions that come after davening. Addition number one is, again, Rosh Chodesh Elul, so you say the Shir Shel Yom, what else do we say? Baruch Hinavshi, and you say? L'David. And you say L'David. Which one do you say first? Baruch Hinavshi or L'David? So I think the minhag is to say Baruch Hinavshi first. Why? Because Tadir V'Sheinu, Tadir, Tadir Kodem. Rosh Chodesh happens more often than Elul and Tishrei. However, right, that's a fact. However, which one do you say more quantitatively over the course of the year?
See Baruch Hinavshi every day.
What?
You say Baruch Hinavshi every day.
Who? You do?
You say it in a rush.
We say it for Rosh Chodesh. What, you have a minute of saying Baruch Hinavshi every day?
Okay, when I put on my tongue, it does. But okay, but
you say the entire Baruch Hinavshi?
No, I don't. No, that's okay. It also been the same. I didn't know what you meant, but Baruch Hinavshi, that's what we say.
Baruch Hinavshi?
That's a short one.
Oh, sure. Okay, so Baruch Hinavshi at the end of the Shir Shel Yom for Rosh Chodesh.
Yes.
So the David, you say, is 2 months, almost 2 months' worth. So you probably end up saying it 100 times or so, if you add up all the Ladavids that you say together, as opposed to Baruch Hinavshi, which you say over the course of the year, I don't know, 18, 19 times. Okay. Yet Baruch Hinavshi is considered more tadir, because it happens more regularly than the other one, which happens more often. Another one, he gives an example, you could argue on all of them, but he says, for example, Hallel the second night of Pesach. So Hallel the second night of Pesach, so there's two mitzvahs to do following davening that we have in Shul. Right, number one is the Omer. What's the other one? Hallel. Right, which should you do first? Hallel or Sfiras Omer? So, it depends on your shul. In our shul, this is why you could argue on it. We say Hallel, then probably everyone says Hallel, then they do Sfiras Omer, unless you're in one of these shuls where you don't really say it, you just say Hallel after davening. But in theory, you do Hallel, and then you do Sfiras Omer. Why? Right, so one could, right, there's both mitzvahs you have to do that night. They're not necessarily integrally connected to the davening. So
you need a minyan, but the Omer you don't.
No, okay. I understand, but you have two mitzvahs to do, right? So which one is going? So he suggested, our minhag is to do Hallel first, and then you do Sfiras Omer, even though you count Sfira more times than you count the Omer, right? But the Omer is restricted to one period of the year. You count Sfira more times than you say Hallel. So in theory, you say, well, Sfira is more tadir. And the answer is no. Hallel you do more regularly, right, as opposed to Sfira, which is only restricted to one time a year. Another one he had was that you say Harachman who Yan Chilein Yom Shekulo Tov, right? That Harachman that you say at the end of benching, would you say on Yantif? Right? So which one do you say first? That one or Harachman who Yakimanu Sukkas David Hanufalas, the one for Sukkas? So you do the Sukkas. So our minhag is generally the Yantif one before the Sukkas David Hanufalas one, even though it's less days. If you add up the amount of days of Yontif, it's what? Well, in Eretz Yisrael, it's 5 days for the whole year, while Sukkot is 7 days for the whole year.
Yeah.
Right? But yet, but the truth is that you could argue as well. Some people say that on Rosh Hashanah, and some people say that on Chol Hamoed also, I believe. So it's a little, none of these are necessarily a hardcore proof, but that was what he suggested. Something that is more regular is going to be is going to be considered more tadir, even though it might be technically less amount of times than the other thing that it's going against. He had a word of drash for it as well, but maybe we'll save that for the concluding sharing this. All right, have a good day. Thank you.